And good afternoon. This is Pastor Craig. No, it's good morning still. This is Pastor Craig, and this is What's Happening, Marion. Welcome. Boy, we've had some exciting moments here at the studio today. We almost had a trip to the emergency room in the last 30 seconds. But you okay, Matt? Okay. All right, so everybody's all good here. Thank you for joining me, and I'm going to tell you what's happening in Marion in the next week. And there's not a lot going on, but there are some things going on, so if you want to grab a pencil and paper to make notes in case I happen to touch on something that interests you and you'd like to do. Now, I also wanted to mention a couple things that in the past we've announced some of the events going on at the Tallgrass Trail for the Marion County Parks District Tallgrass Trail. And one of the things that they had, I believe it was last week, was looking for birds' nests. The idea there being, you know, this is the time of year when all the leaves are down on the trees, and so it's easy to find birds' nests. And so, and you can go on their James Anderson's or their Facebook page and see this. But anyhow, they had four families out there for the looking for birds' nests. And in addition to looking for birds' nests, they had the privilege of seeing a bald eagle. Now, I don't know if they saw more than one, if they saw a pair, but they did see a bald eagle, and there is a nice video of the bald eagle in flight. So you can go on, I know it's on James Anderson's, I imagine he's probably also put it up on the park districts. So you can go on there and see a real cool video of when they came across a bald eagle. Also, too, they had their winter in the woods earlier this month, and they got to see some trumpeter swans and some geese and things like that. They got to see a beaver swimming around there's like a little lake over there. And the big creek. So they got to see the beaver, and he also has a video of the beaver. So that's just some things that, you know, I always tell you about things coming up, but I thought I'd share with you a little bit about things that they saw when they were there. So that was at the Tallgrass Trail recently. All right, now on to what is happening, Marion. Today, Friday, December 29th, this is at 1 o'clock, so after this show is over, if you're so inclined, you can go over to the Tallgrass Trail, and it is their winter tree identification that was rescheduled from last week. It was canceled last week, and they had to cancel it, and it's rescheduled for today, 1 o'clock, and learn how to identify trees without their leaves, so like looking at their bark and that kinds of things. And this is also a good time to mention, from time to time, situations do come up, and the events at the Marion County Parks have to be canceled and rescheduled, and it can be for a variety of reasons. I mean, sometimes it's weather-related, and other times it's been other things. But if you are going over to any of the things that the Marion County Parks District has, it's always a good idea that before you head out, just double-check your Facebook page just to make sure that it hasn't been canceled. I mean, it rarely happens, but it does happen, and they will put up a notice right away when they have to cancel it. So this has been the reschedulization of their winter tree identification today at 1 o'clock. All right, it is Friday, so that means a free community meal at the Shining Light Baptist Church at 6 p.m. And Shining Light Baptist Church is at the point of Church and Mount Vernon, and you can dine in or carry out. So that is tonight at 6 p.m. All right. Now, there is, I couldn't find anything going on tomorrow. It's kind of a weird weekend, you know. It's the first weekend after Christmas, and this weekend, Sunday night is New Year's Eve. So I really didn't find anything happening on Saturday. So we'll jump up to New Year's Eve Day, December 31st, Sunday. And this is New Year's Eve. And in the daytime, at Kildare Plains, they have a Christmas bird count. I don't know why they call it a Christmas bird count, because it's happening. It's like the end of the year bird census, or beginning the next year bird census. But I don't know. They call it Christmas bird count. It's on New Year's Eve, and it's for Marion, Wyandotte, and Hardin counties. And if you want to be involved in the annual bird count, which makes you a census taker, then contact them through Facebook Messenger. So get a hold of the Parks District on Facebook. All right, December 31st, which is Sunday, New Year's Eve, a New Year's Eve Rock the Coliseum from 5 p.m. to 1 a.m. Obviously, it's at the Marion County Fairgrounds, Veterans Memorial Coliseum. And it costs is $25 per person. And they have live music to celebrate the new year. And again, as I said last week, it doesn't say anything about food or beverages. I don't know if they're available, if you have to pay for them. I don't know. But the information I have says at least you're going to have live music all night long. You can dance and sing and whatever. So that's Sunday. Also Sunday, December 31st, New Year's Eve, is the Rockin' Poppin' New Year's Eve celebration. That is starts at 9 o'clock, goes till, after midnight. And it's behind the courthouse on Center Street. And they have scheduled games, minute-to-win-it games. There is a DJ dance party and more. And they will be dropping the infamous lighted popcorn ball at midnight. So there'll be a big countdown for the dropping of the popcorn ball. Monday, January 1st, New Year's Day. Marion Public Library is closed. All city offices are closed. There will be no trash pickup. But at noon, there will be a swearing-in ceremony for all the newly elected city officials. And then immediately after the swearing-in ceremony, it's my understanding that council will be holding their first council meeting of the new year and the new council makeup. And the number one item on their agenda is the budget. So that should be interesting. Okay. Tuesday, January the 2nd, story time at the Harding Presidential Museum at 10 a.m. with Miss Kathy. So that's Tuesday. Also, Tuesday, January 2nd, is the first Tuesday of the month. So that means at 5 p.m., there's a free neighborhood meal. Epworth United Methodist at 249 East Center Street. And everybody's welcome, again, for the free neighborhood meal. Also, on Tuesday, fiction book discussion at the Marion Public Library, and it's at 6 o'clock. Come share your views and insights on a variety of books. And you can check with the library for what book will be discussed and also what book will be discussed in February. This is on the first Tuesday of every month. And so again, a fiction book discussion this Tuesday, and you can also find out what is going to be discussed in February. January 3rd, which is Wednesday, LaRue Village Council meeting at 7 o'clock at the old library. Now, typically, I don't mention village council meetings, you know, because you got, you've got Prospect, and you've got LaRue, and you've got Green Camp, and you got all those places, Caledonia, and typically I do not announce village council meetings, but I feel this is kind of an important thing. Obviously, this only pertains to the village of LaRue and residents living in the village, but in a way, it's kind of, it applies to everybody. And what I mean is, the LaRue Village Council, they have two seats open on council. They have two open seats on council. And really, you know, the council in these villages have a lot to do with how the village runs. Obviously, they have a lot of state laws that they have to follow and that sort of thing. But when it gets right down to it, the operation of your village is run by your council. And so they have two open seats. And so here is a chance for people to get involved. You know, it's easy to complain about what's going on in your village and your town or your city. But rather than just talking about it, you know, they need people to do something about it. So if you live in LaRue, here's your opportunity to get involved in the operation of your council. And really, you know, many times what happens in your city or village or whatever has the most impact on you. Yes, of course, what happens on a national level has a lot of impact on us. What happens on our state level has impact on us. But on the local level, your village, I mean, that's where you live. A lot of what goes on in the village has an impact on you. So here's your chance to impact your village. And really, I would encourage people to get involved at the local level. You know, yes, we had one president from Marion, Ohio. So, yes, it's always possible to run for president, or you can run for state senator, or you can run for the U.S. House of Representatives. That's all possible. But all those people started somewhere else. They started, perfect example is Mary Ellen Withrow. You got to start at the bottom. So if you have interest in politics, start at the bottom. Start at the local level. And really, even if you don't have desires for state office or national office, if you care about your village, get involved in your village. All right, I'll get off my soapbox. Thursday, January 4th, story time at the Marion Public Library. There are two sessions of story time. The first is at 10 o'clock, and the second is at 11 o'clock. Story time is for preschool and younger, and they do singing and rhyming and stories and activities. Also on Thursday, also at the Marion Public Library, is Teen Scene. And it is from 3:15 to 5 o'clock. Need something to do after school? Join us for homework help, crafts, and more. And each session will have a themed activity or craft, and also there will be discussion time. And, folks, that is it. That was all I could find as far as what's happening Marion. It's a little slim total, but there's still a lot of stuff going on in Marion. By no means is there nothing going on. And as we get into January, we'll see some more activities popping up. But there's certainly things to do. So now you ask yourself, what's he going to do for the next half hour? Well, I'm glad you asked, because I was kind of searching around on the internet last night. And, you know, this is the time of year where they always do they do things like top 10 movie personalities and top 10 radio personalities and all those kinds of things. So I thought, well, you know, it might be interesting to look at what some of those top 10 things are. So I went searching, and I came up with, it's actually kind of an interesting kind of thing what I came up with, because what I found was CNN, the top 10 digital news stories from 2023, and I said, okay. These are the top 10 digital news stories for 2023, and this would be the top 10 news stories. These were the stories that CNN put out that were either read or watched or listened to. Okay? So, are you ready? We will start at number 10. Number 10, the top 10 watched, listened to, or read about news stories through CNN was Jeremy Renner's accident on January 2nd. Now, you guys probably know more about this story than I do. I know that Jeremy Renner is a famous person. And I know he was involved in an accident on January 2nd. And I don't know if that was, I remember hearing about at the time, like somebody famous was involved in a snowplow accident and somebody famous was involved in, I don't know, a snowmobile accident or something. I don't know. So I'm not going to fill you in on the details because I don't know. And by the way, I didn't really look every one of these top 10 stories up because that would have taken too long. So anyway, that was number 10 story, Jeremy Renner. Number nine, white homeowner accused of shooting black teen who went to wrong house in Kansas City will face two felony charges. And that was a story from April. And that was just a tragic story all around. And, you know, me personally, I don't think being white and black had that much to do with it. I think it was the matter of this kid was just at the wrong house. And, you know, you had a homeowner react in a inappropriate way, and it was just tragic all around. But anyway, number eight, erythritol, an ingredient in stevia, linked to heart attack and stroke. That was from February 27th, and I don't know if anybody out there was following that. I actually didn't even hear about this one. I mean, number 10, Jeremy Renner. Yeah, I heard about that. Didn't pay attention to it, but I heard about it. And I do remember the story from Kansas City. But I do not remember hearing about this. But an ingredient in stevia linked to heart attacks and stroke. So that was their number 8 biggest story. Number 7, Representative Kevin McCarthy wins House speakership vote, their live story on January 6th. So that was number 7, most watched, read, or listened to. And if you recall, that was on the 15th vote that happened. They had actually spent several days and taken a lot of votes before they got to that. So that was their number 7 story. All right. Number 6. Nashville Elementary School mass shooting. The live story from March the 27th. Yes, I remember that quite well. Nashville Elementary School mass shooting. And a lot is still happening in that case. There was a recent decision by the courts that was going to allow the shooter's diaries and notes to be released to the public. What's interesting is, in the majority of mass shootings that have happened at schools, within a matter of a day or two or three, we're given bits and pieces of the shooter's diary or manifesto or notes. This particular case, the police refused to release them. And they had a lot of parents that didn't want these released, to the point where they got into a lawsuit. So that one's still unfolding. All right, that was number 6. Number 5, number 5, the missing Titan sub search news live story. And we talked about that here on this show, well, on the 12 o'clock show on the Exchange Club with Scott and Matt and myself. That was for a week, that was the story that everybody was talking about. We were talking about it. It was on the news. So that was a big one. I do remember that. Number 4, Arnold Schwarzenegger says friend Bruce Willis will be remembered as a great star and a kind man. And that was on May 31st. Arnold Schwarzenegger says friend Bruce Willis will be remembered as a great star and a kind man. I don't really remember that story. There's been a lot of stories circulating about Bruce Willis. I don't remember that one specifically, but that was the number 4 most read, watched, or listened to of CNN's digital news. All right, number 3, Lewiston, Maine mass shootings live coverage, October 25th. Now, here's what's interesting, because the Nashville shooting was in March, and I remember that one very well, and I remember hearing about it and everything. The Lewiston, Maine Maine mass shooting was October, the end of October. And I kind of remember something about that, but I honestly don't remember the details. I don't think it was a school shooting. I believe maybe it was a mall, but I'm not sure. It's interesting how some mass shooter stories stand out more in your mind than others. So I really don't remember where that one took place, other than it was in Lewiston, Maine. Number 3. All right. The number 2 most watched or listened to or read stories from CNN was missing Titan sub crew killed after a catastrophic implosion. So yes, that was when they informed us of them being killed after the implosion. However, that was several days after authorities knew. But I won't get into that. All right. So what was the top story read, watched, or listened to by the readers and listeners of CNN. What was the top story from 2023? Well, I can tell you this. It wasn't anything going on here in Marion. It wasn't about the mayor's race. It wasn't about the problems in the auditor's office. It wasn't even, now this is what's amazing. The number one CNN top story from 2023, you would have thought, but it was not. It was not the fact that last Tuesday was Scott Spears Day in Marion, Ohio. I know. And you know what? That didn't even make the top 10, which is kind of hard to believe. No. The number one top story, CNN, was Damar Hamlin's health update, a live story on January 3rd. And that was the day after he had collapsed, which was January 2nd. So they did a live update of his live health update. And that was the number one story from last year for CNN that had 18 million readers, which is really kind of interesting because typically on CNN, they rarely get more than a million viewers of the CNN actual news program. That's why they said, you know, this is the top stories both read, watched, or listened to. Because, again, you know, they have typically at the most a million watchers. So 18 million people were reading it, watching it, or listened to it. So there you have it. Those were the top 10 digital news stories, according to CNN, for 2023. Now, I also went to find, I stumbled upon, actually, I did not go there intentionally, but I stumbled upon the top news stories for 2023 for NPR, okay, National Public Radio, NPR, their top news stories. And when I go through, I mean, that's how they advertise this. Their top news stories for last year, okay? And when you read down through these, I'm going to share them with you. When you read down from these, the first thing that came to my mind is that I was looking at the Babylon Bee. And, you know, these are like headlines from the Babylon Bee. And if you are not familiar with the Babylon Bee, it is a website, and it's a satirical website where they post headlines and news stories, and it's 100% satire. Okay, so maybe just kind of keep that in mind as I read down through these things that NPR says was the top news stories, because when I read these to you, you obviously don't listen to NPR for serious news, for like breaking news, important events. And, you know, this isn't just a biased opinion. When I read down through this list for you, these were NPR's top news stories. You tell me if this is where you're going to go for your serious news to stay on top of what's happening in the world. All right. First news story. Top news stories of 2023. No whiskey in bottles of Fireball Cinnamon. Customers suing. Okay. Fireball. Those are those little bottles you can get at the store. You know, when you go there and you buy your beer or wine or whiskey or whatever, and they got these little balls of fireball, and they got a picture of a devil on them. And so people were suing them because the fireball cinnamon contained no whiskey. Top news story. Okay. Baby bison euthanized after being handled by tourist and rejected by herd. This happened at a state park or a national park. I believe it was Yellowstone. I may be corrected on that, but it was a national park. I believe it was Yellowstone. But I believe he was a Japanese tourist, approached a baby bison and petted it and, you know, handled it. And then it was rejected by the herd. And so therefore the park had to euthanize it. Now, I have a question. If that baby bison had broken a leg, they would have tranquilized it. They would have transported it. They would have given it medical care. And then they would have nursed it back to health. And one of two things would have happened. They would have either released it back to the herd, or if there was a fear of it being rejected by the herd, they would have kept it till adulthood. They would have sent it to a buffalo petting zoo or a national zoo or something like the National Zoo in Washington, D.C., or something like that. But they had to euthanize it because somebody touched it. I'll let you think on that one for a while. All right. Here's another one. Top news stories by NPR in 2023. Coastal biomedical labs are bleeding more horseshoe crabs with little accountability. And you're going, what? Yeah, I know. That's what I did. So I had to dig into a little bit. What they do is they take the blood from horseshoe crabs and they use it to detect toxins in the ocean. Okay? All right. So that's reasonable. But what's happening is the labs are taking more blood than they can account for and have reasons for taking. Okay. So I'll let you think on that one for a while. All right. Another top story from NPR in 2023. Remembering Olympic gold medalist Florence Flojo Griffith Joyner. She was quite the Olympic athlete. Gold medal. And I actually didn't know she passed away, but she did. So they're remembering her. So I guess that got a lot of play. All right. Oh, you're going to love this last one. These American birds and dozens more will be renamed to remove human monikers. Yep. The American Ornithological Society has deemed that, and they've got like over 60 species of birds they're going to rename because they have deemed that their names are offensive or exclusionary because they've been named after people. Okay, just to give you a sample, they're going to rename Anna's Hummingbird. They're going to rename Gamble's Quail. They're going to rename Lewis's woodpecker. They're going to rename Bewick's wren. They're going to rename Bullock's oriole. Why? Because since they're named after people, they have deemed it offensive or exclusionary. Now, if you ask me if what would be, you're a bird lover, okay? And you love bird watching, and you're keeping your little book of all the birds, all the different species that you've seen, okay? And, you know, you got hundreds of different species that you've identified and you've seen them in the wild. I can't think of a better argument for not sending your money to the American Ornithological Society than what they got right here. I'm sure that they get emails every single day from probably hundreds or thousands of birds saying, please change my name. I do not want to be known as Anna's hummingbird. It's offensive. I mean, seriously? I mean, we have a war going on in Ukraine. We have a war going on in the Middle East. We have $30 trillion debt in the United States. We have a dysfunctional government nationally. I almost wanted to put that title of dysfunctional government on a certain local government, but I won't go that far. And these people are worried about names of birds. And the people at NPR, that was a top news story. I guess, you know, let me go back over something I said earlier. I said, you know, I hope you're not getting your major news from NPR. But actually, this is actually kind of a good thing. Because if it weren't for NPR, we'd never know about the insanity going on at the American Ornithological Society. So, thank you, NPR. All right, so that's the news stories from 2023 that I stumbled across last night as I was preparing for this show. So, hope you enjoyed that. All right, so I will be back next week. I will have things happening in Marion, and hopefully we have a few more things going on. But in the meantime, if you are part of an organization and is putting on an event and you would like your event to get mentioned here, I would be happy to do it. My phone number is 419-210-0267. Call and leave a message because I won't answer the phone, but you can leave a message and I will take down all that information from you, what's happening, when it's happening, how much it costs, what's it for, and I will put your event on my schedule and so that I can bring it to other listeners. Also, too, I will be back next hour with Scott and Matt for the Exchange Club, and also I will be back at 1 o'clock. And as Scott mentioned earlier, I will have as a guest on my show, Amy Orr Parker, who is part of, well, actually she's the founder and director of Luke 311 Ministries, and she's going to tell us about the peanut butter jelly trucks that many of you may have seen around Marion. She's also going to talk about lumpy loads of laundry, which maybe you've taken advantage of the lump, and I mean that in a good way, not a bad way. You've taken advantage of the lumpy loads of laundry. So that's what we got coming up the rest of the afternoon. This is the last day that we will be on the air, any of us will be on the air before New Year's. So I just wanted to take a minute and wish everybody a happy new year. And, you know, it's kind of interesting because we always have great hopes for the new year. And many times, maybe it's because that year that we've just come through was, there were some personal tragedies within your family. Maybe loss of a loved one, maybe a divorce, maybe the loss of a job, maybe the loss of a house. But, you know, when we look back on all that's happened in the past year, it can sometimes tend to be filled with tough situations. So it's kind of natural that we look forward to the new year with hopes of things being better. I mean, many times I've heard somebody say, man, I can't wait till the new year. It's got to be better than this past year. And I understand that. I really do. It's just, for the most part, it's natural to look optimistically towards the new year. Now, I get it. Not everybody's an optimist. There are some people that are true pessimists, and so they probably don't look forward to the new year with hopes of it being better. But I think in general, most people do. So are you a person that makes New Year's resolutions? If you're a person that makes New Year's resolution, I would like to offer you this. One, make your New Year's resolution attainable. Make it something achievable. Make it desirable, but also within reach. And then two, stick to it and see it through. You know, there's all these stories about, you know, everybody who makes New Year's resolutions that, you know, by the end of January, 70% of the people have already fallen short or given up on it. Well, this year, let's try something different. Let's make sure that our resolutions are reasonable, and let's commit ourselves to reaching that goal. And let's stick to it in January. And, you know, maybe come December, you can look back and say, not only did I make a New Year's resolution, but I stuck to it for this year. And I wish you the best, because usually a New Year's resolution is made on something you want to improve on or improve yourself on. So I would give you all the encouragement to go for it and stick to it and recognize that it'll probably not be easy. But anytime we want to make positive improvements in ourselves, it's not going to be easy, because the easy thing is just to be stuck in your ways, to just settle for the status quo. But that's why I say I would encourage you to make a commitment, go for it, and I'm cheering for you. Now, I typically do not make New Year's resolutions, but periodically, you know, it may be the third week in May, and I just may say, you know, it's time to make a change. This is what I'm going to do. So, one, I would encourage you to make and stick to a New Year's resolution. And you know what? If it doesn't work out in June, try it again with a new determination. It doesn't have to be New Year's. You can make a resolution anytime during the course of a year, at any point in your life. And probably most times that people make a determination to do something different or better in their life, it actually doesn't come on New Year's. It comes throughout the year. But so that's something to think about the next couple of days. We'll be back on Tuesday Well, Scott will be back on Tuesday, and it will be a new year, and it probably will take all month for Scott and the rest of us to get used to that 2024. We're going to be saying 2023, but I think, you know, that's a common problem that just about everybody has. And so, you know, when it happens, we don't make a big deal about it because it happens to everybody. So January, it's like 2023 plus or 2023 kinda till we get used to that 2024. So again, I want to thank you for listening to me today, and I'll be back in 15 minutes with Scott and Matt. I don't know exactly what we're talking about, but I imagine, you know, there'll be something about pay raises in Marion that we'll spend a little time on. Then I'll be back at 1 o'clock with Study His Word. Join me and Amy Orr Parker talking about Luke 3:11 Ministries, and I'll see you in a few minutes.
You're listening to The Talking Place. Just listen to former star of The Jeffersons and 227 Marla Gibbs.